Mr. Rogers, Rule 2. Anything else about your training at with the Naval Brigade up at Warrior Hall, Fleet Road?
Well, only that the most important thing is that they were very strict on is now in the different ranks of the from the Admiral downwards, and also you're never dressed unless you've got your cap on. So if you went on parade in the noddy and you had your hat on, you were properly dressed.
So you had a hat as well as a jerkin, as a jacket, did you?
Oh yes, I had a jacket, me white front, me collar, me black silk, me lanyard, and a navy hat with Naval Brigade on the tally band that goes round.
Now, how many of you were there in this group, you know?
I was the only boy sailor there. The rest were all over 18, as far as, and I think you could go up to the age of about, well, they, old men they were to me in those days.
How many would there be?
Oh, I should say around about 60, 70 of them.
And how did you get on? What was your, you know, you were only a boy, they were men, and oh, some of them, what you were, to you, old men. How did you get on with them?
Well, very well, because my eldest brother, brought me into it, and I think they respected him as, you know, like to help me along. At the same time, I found out years afterwards that he said to them, if he gets out of the line, give him a clap round the ear hole. See, so I think that's what it was all about. See, not only that, one particular chap, he was at the Battle of Jutland in 1917, and he saw my grandmother's son-in-law get sunk on the HMS Indefatigable in Jellicoe's fleet in 1917. Only about three or five survivors. Because we were brought up, even before I went in the Naval Brigade, my grandmother always says, pick that up off the deck. Yeah, little things like that. And, that will come when you ask me about the being in the Navy.
Now, so you went up there three nights a week. Mm-hmm. You had plenty to learn. Anything else about the Naval Brigade?
Well, I think it was the atmosphere. Well, as a young boy, it was fascinated. Especially when I started work, you know. They said to me, we're going tonight. Saying, going to Naval Brigade. Naval Brigade? What's that? Boys Brigade? And of course, I give them a mouthful, and some of the elder chaps, they knew all about the Naval Brigade. Because the Naval Brigade, it was taken off of the ships in the First World War to fight in the trenches with the army. And they were called the Naval Divisions. There's about six, maybe seven divisions. A lot of them was men that did serve in the trenches. And because they taught us, or taught me, different things to help to save, so I say now, that to help to save, you know, save my life and that. The only other thing they taught us there that was very strict is keeping yourself afloat in the water. What to, if you never had the life jacket, what could keep you alive? They said tie a knot in your bell bottoms of your trousers, put them at the back of your head and pull them over your head so air got in it, and you then hold the bottom, and that would make like a life belt. Little things like that, and also anything that you saw floating, even the bucket, and it was half full of water, empty the water out, turn it upside down and pull it straight under water and hold on to that. Try and get it on your chest onto it. All those little things like
that. Did you practice them in a swimming bath, or were you just told how to do it?
Oh, we used to go down the baths, but we wasn't taught with the buckets and that, because they wouldn't allow you that.
What about swimming? I presume they taught you to swim.
Oh, I was a good swimmer before I went there.
But did they sort of check you all could swim?
Oh, well, at the Naval Brigade, yes. That shows you how to, if you jump in the water, and they used to call it a May West. So put it round you there, tie it up, then you should have to blow it up. And they told you how to jump it in the water to hold it. Because if you didn't hold it properly, when you hit the water, it would not come up, knock you out, or broke your neck. All those things like that they taught you.
Anything else with them?
Not as I can
see. You didn't have summer camps or anything like that?
No, I wasn't allowed to go to summer.
That's what you weren't allowed to. Too old, too young.
Too young.
Now, what about your work? We hadn't done. When you left school at 14, did you?
That's correct.
And what did you work as?
I worked as a van boy on the LMS, London, Midland and Scottish Railway, at Camden.
At Camden? Where about? Sorry.
At Oval Road. Commonly known as the Towboard Monkey.
What did you have? What was the job of van boy then? What did you have to do?
We had to sit on the back of a horse and cart. Well, first we had to get there early in the morning to harness the horse up, to take it up, because it went under a tunnel under the Grand Union Canal and come up the other side. And make sure it's got its feed, your ropes for tying things down, and when the carman came, he went and got his a number of the van, what he had, or the cart I should say, and you went out delivering, and you had to sit on the back all the time to make sure no one jumped on or stole anything. Even to this day, I can still remember, because we used to all round the West End, and especially in Oxford Street, there was, sticks in my mind even to this day, though they're not there no more, was two Woolworths. One that down by Tottenham Court Road end was the 311 Oxford Street. The one up by Marble Arch was number 150. Oxford Street. Used to deliver at Selfridges on the corner of Orchard Road. Oh, nearly all those shops along there.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I used to love the West End. Because, especially when, the old horse, going along and we used to stop and have dinner at Hedner Street. That's off of Regent Street by Austin Reeds. And a woman used to come out, give him something to eat. Then when we came out to go back, there used to be a paper man on the corner. And that all stopped. And he would not move until he got his sweet from the horse. Then everybody used to stand and watch, because they used to give the horse, they used to give the horse a sweet in its paper, and he's put it in his mouth and spit the paper out, and it used to bite and used to kick. Yet I could go up and he used to take a lump of sugar out of my mouth, and I could crawl under its belly, do anything with it. You know, and our van number was 119, and the weight of it was 19 to tear. That was the weight of the cart, the 19 underweight one. Then from there, as I got older, I got on the pardon me, motor, and with a chap named...
So you switched from the van, the cart, to a van?
Yeah, to a motor vehicle, and it was a five-cylinder diesel engine, and the driver was Jack Cadell. Actually, his son, I used to go to school with, and we used to knock about together, and he taught me to drive. And what's called it, from there, being the men were being called up from the railway, they took us off the motors and gave us a horse and cart, and we had to go out delivering.
Now, so that was from 1938 to...
1911, well, it would be, I went into the Navy January 11th, 1942.
Right, so we'll just trim back a bit. Now, you said, well, how did the Naval Brigade come to an end? Because you said in 1939 it was disbanded. What happened about that? What was your first inkling of it?
Well, what happened, when war... See, it'd be about 4 months before the war broke out, when they expected something to happen. All the naval brigade there, age legible, at the report to the police station, the nearest police station, so that if the war broke out, they should go there and there'd be a warrant card for them to go to this, wherever it was. And because that would close the naval brigade right down altogether. See, so I was left high and dry sort of business. And
so that when did they made the arrangements in about May, and then did they actually do it then, or did they do it when the war broke out?
They got called up. Well, my oldest brother got called up on the 3rd of September, 1939, and he was at sea. By the 20th of September, 1939, because he was a qualified signalman, and the only thing is he had to drop down from a leading signalman to a first-class signalman.
So they were called up, and so that it closed Fleet Road. That was all finished.
All finished.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? Do you remember the day war broke out?
Yes.
For you, what happened? What do you remember of it?
Well, it was on a Sunday, and the funniest thing was there was a bit of a strike on at Camden Town Goods Depot, and we had to go in to feed the horses and exercise them, all the van boys, because under 18 you couldn't belong to a union. And that was when the war broke out, you know, that's the first time it really hit me that the war was on. But
what did you think, did you think you'd be involved? What did you think when you found it was on?
I don't think I thought of anything, actually. Only, you know, that we was at war, and at that age, you know, that it didn't register. And it only registered when my brother had to go into the Navy. Well, he'd gone into the Navy. I didn't see him go. And a few months later, the LDV, Local Defence Volunteers, studied.
So, during the Phoney War, nothing much happened, really. So, did it affect your life much, the outbreak of war? Did you just... You couldn't go to the Naval Brigade anymore, so did you find something else to do?
Well, just... Like you always do about at that age, there's only the things that you thought of as wine, women and song.
So you didn't find another hobby, you just carried on with your life?
Yes, until the LDV started.
Now, so, no, what about, better just ask, what about air raid precautions before the Blitz started? Had you done any of that at your house? Well, where were you living as well?
I lived in 47 Ferdinand Street. Yes, they issued the gas masks and that, and they built a shelter in the turning. But my grandmother would not feel safe, so she used to have to go. She always went down the tube at Chalk Farm. I stayed down there 2 nights, and that was my lot. I stayed indoors.
You didn't have an Anderson shelter or anything like that?
Oh, no.
Or a Morrison one of those ones?
No, because our backyard was a yard, not a garden.
And what about the blackout? Do you remember that?
Oh, the blackout, yes, was very strict. Well, we was fortunate, because my grandfather, though he died in 1937, I think it was, 36, 37... there was a load of old sheets and blankets and rugs and all that we could put on. And of course, I was pretty good with my hands. I used to make a frame so it just fitted in. Because the bedrooms were never... it was put up, but the... You went up to bed with a candle instead of switching the electric light on, or the gas light on.
And at work, life just carried on, except you were going out in the vans yourself.
Yes.
Now, what about the LDV? Would that be formed in May 1940?
Something like that. I can't remember, but the LDV started, Local Defence Volunteers, and you had to be 15 years of age to join it, and I wasn't quite 15, and nor was my mates, and we joined it, and the headquarters was in Holmes Road.
Holmes Road?
Holmes Road School.
Is that H-O-L?
H-O-L, Holmes Road.
Holmes Road School.
School. And
that's in Chalk Farm?
That was in Kentish Town.
Sorry. And how did you join? How were you asked to join?
We went there and we was, to be runners, to run messages and that. But after being in it a little while, and we got... to showing how to use a rifle and all that.
Now, when you joined, take it slowly, when you joined, did you join when everybody else was joining up?
Yeah.
There was a big rush to join.
Yes, the LDV, yeah, but then most of them were First World War veterans that joined the LDV. And, because they literally knocked us into shape. They wouldn't stay in no buck, because they were nearly all NCOs and all that.
And what sort of training did they give you, these old First World War veterans?
Well, the same as I had, you know, rifle drill, handling the rifle. But because we had no rifles then, all we had was gas barrel with a...
What's a gas barrel? Sorry.
A lump of iron, a gas barrel, about inch round, and on the end of it was a bayonet, welded on the end of it. And that's what you trained with. And what's called it, they put us through all the doings and the practice of bayonet fighting and all that. And of course, then the old soldiers made us put this scabbard on the bayonet, and then you had to, they pick someone that you had to go up against with the rifle, this gas barrel and the bayonet with a scabbard on, and see who comes out best. See, so we found out the best way with that was when you went in, sidestep and hit them on the hand, and because they dropped the toy. See, that's another thing that the old soldiers used to teach us. Because once you get hit on the hand with anything, you soon drop it. But then...
Did you have any uniform at all?
No, all we had was an armband. We carried on the left arm, and it had LDV on it, meaning Local Defence Volunteers. Then they came out with parts of a uniform, what they call denim's overalls. It's just like a battle dress, but it was made of denim's, or as you call now, as denim's trousers and that, like that material. And then all of a sudden, there was a big hullabaloo, and Churchill took over from Anthony.
So how long had it been going then, would you say?
Must have been about 12 months, something like that.
So it was formed in 1939?
Well, just after the war broke out. See?
Right about October.
Something like that. Because there were so many LDV different things there, such as, say, a squire in a country village. He automatically became the commander, and he was in he made himself in charge of that area. Then there were so many of them like it that Churchill didn't want that. He wanted them under one command, and that is when the Home Guard started. And of course, they took command, and that's when we got our proper army uniforms.
That would be June 1940, round about then?
No, later than that. I say 41, about 41, the beginning of 41. And we got proper KD army uniforms, battle dress and blouse and that, and we had Home Guard on it. And we got a cap badge, which was the King's Royal Rifles cap badge, but it had 19th Battalion, St Pancras. And that's what we was, the 19th Battalion, St Pancras of the King's Royal Rifles. And I was in that up until the, I think it was the Thursday.
Now, hang on. What sort of, when you first joined, you were a runner. What did you have to do as a runner?
Well, for instance, they might say, I want you to run to the next place, which would be Hampstead, with just an envelope. And when they opened it, it would be a blank piece of paper. But they knew what it was. They closed it down. We had to get the signature on the envelope. See, that was just in case there was no communications. And because they did do one mock attack down in Knightsbridge.
What was that about? Tell me about that.
Well, we went out and we were supposed to capture a couple of prisoners for information. And we're down there and two of us was creeping along on our bellies, come to a corner. As we went round the corner, next thing we know, rifle was stuck at the back of our neck because we were taken prisoner. And of course, when we got back to their headquarters, the two blokes was old soldiers. Said, what chance did we stand? And they asked us if we would give our parole that we would not try to escape. Me and another chap refused to give our parole. And we stuck in a room, and the little off it was a toilet. And we just got the window open, and I lifted him up. He was halfway out when the door opened, and we got grabbed. We was taken downstairs and put in a taxi and sent back to Holmes Road.
That was always your base, Holmes Road School.
Always our base, yeah.
And what kind of training? Tell us a bit more about the training you did then.
We done every type of training there was. Rifle drill, marching, grenade practicing.
Was it any different from what you'd done with the Naval Brigade?
To me, no. The only difference there was they had live ammunition that we were only allowed to have when we was on guard duty. And because we had one rifle between five men. And being I knew about rifles and one thing and the other, I was allowed to go on guard with an elderly chap with a rifle.
Now tell me about guard. Where would you be on guard duty?
Well, we'd either be on guard at the reservoir at Dartmouth Park Hill. Guard in the reservoir there, the Holmes Road Police Station, and the railway bridge at Camden Town.
And what was a typical? Did you have a little pill box, a sort of place to stay? Where would you be, or would you just be stood about?
Just stood around, and. What's called it, under the arch, and we had blankets already with us, and sometimes it was damn cold.
But and you were just on, that was what your duty was?
Yeah.
Did anything ever happen?
Yes, once we was at on guard at Dartmouth Park Reservoir, and I've always fancied a pair of flying boots, and the warning went and some bells went because they saw parachutes, because I was pretty good on my feet in those days. I was well in front of them. I'm going to have his bloody boots, going to have his boots.